The murder trial for Raul Valley is set to resume in Milford Superior Court on Monday. Valley is accused of stabbing and killing Jimmy McGrath, a Fairfield Prep student, outside of a Shelton home in May of 2022. The second day of testimony happened Wednesday, and as expected, former students who were on scene that night took the stand. We also got more clarity about what led up to the deadly violence that night. For perspective on the case overall, we have attorney Bill Bloss joining us. He is one of our legal experts on the show. He has no involvement with the case, but I love to get his insight when major cases, including those in Connecticut, are going on. Attorney Bloss, welcome back. What do you, first of all, make of this case? We know that Raul Valley rejected a plea offer previously, which would have meant he'd spend 40 years behind bars. And that's why this trial is happening. But what do you make of this case overall?
Well, I mean, the place you have to start is not in the courtroom, but just in the level of human tragedy that's involved here. You know, it goes from a bunch of high school kids having fun, having a party, hanging out, and then within minutes, one person's dead, and the other person is certainly at risk of his life being ruined forever. So it's just hard for me to start anywhere other than just the tragedy, the whole situation.
I agree. I mean, and the fact that when you look at the second day of this trial, you're bringing also the young people who were just there, who were witnesses and have to live with that scene forever and now recount it in court.
Yeah, no, you wonder how this didn't have to happen, obviously. The choice to bring a knife out was a bad choice. The testimony about, Melissa, the whole thing starts over a 12-pack of beer. Really? I mean, is that worth it? It's just kind of unfathomable to me. I haven't been a teenager for quite a while, but I definitely was never going to, get in a fight over a 12-pack of beer.
Right, right. Well, and, Attorney Bloss, it's interesting you say that because we didn't know at first, what exactly led up. I mean, this is part of the, why trials are so hard to go through, quite frankly, because there's so much that the public does not know. I mean, even helping people to understand that, there's so much that we don't know until you are sitting in that courtroom or you are, getting the details revealed to you in real time. And I think that's a common question that people ask, which is, why, and maybe this sounds like an elementary question, but I'm going to ask it because we had listeners ask this, Attorney Bloss, which is, why do we have to wait for sort of the sensationalized details to come out in court? Especially knowing that the family, I don't know if the McGrath family knows of these details ahead of the trial.
Well, they probably have met with the state's attorney's office multiple times. I'm sure the state's attorney's office would give them a preview of what the evidence was going to be so that they are not surprised by anything. I mean, I do that with clients, you should know that at the trial, this is going to come out, that's going to come out. That happens pretty regularly. But you don't want to really try the case in the public. You don't want to try it on the radio or in newspapers or on social media, because you want the jury to be fair. You want the jury to make its decision based on what happens in the courtroom, the testimony, the evidence, and not on, what people are saying on TikTok or on Facebook. So, I know it's frustrating sometimes that you have to be patient to learn these details, but it's really the only way the system works.
It's such a good point, though, Attorney Bloss, which is why I asked it, which is, and I'm going to talk about as well, picking the jury, which I know has become an increasingly bigger challenge in any case, quite frankly, because of social media and how quickly we can get information and I'm going to say manipulation out there, honestly, before a case even is tried. Again, Attorney Bill Bloss, I just want to let people know, has absolutely nothing to do with this trial, with the Raul Valley case, with Jimmy McGrath. But he is our legal expert on the show, and I love to get his perspective on these types of cases. So we have now, a jury that is, as you mentioned, in a very, very difficult situation. You've got two young people who essentially are involved. You've got the suspected murderer who is, now I think they said 20 years old, but at the time was 16. and you have a young person who lost his life for literally being at the wrong place at the wrong time. He had nothing to do with the fight, is our understanding, but he was there, as well as three other teenagers who also were stabbed that night. How do you make sure you've got jury members who are going to be open-minded to the, I'm going to say, sensitivity of these were teenagers. These were all teenagers, and somebody made a horrific decision to allegedly bring a knife and do what he allegedly did.
Well, you know, there's no alleged to the knife. The knife was there. That much is true. Now, you know, the motivation for it, I suppose, is going to be the element of the defense. But, you know, you're right, though. It's not easy to get a jury in a case like this, because it is such an emotional, it's just so horrible emotionally and psychologically, the whole what I was talking about before, you know, the it's just impossible to watch this trial without just feeling like what a waste. I mean, you know, the whole. So, but anyway, I mean, a jury's going to have, that's not what the jury's going to make its decision on. Connecticut, interestingly, Melissa, Connecticut is the only state in the country that still has individual questioning of jurors before as part of the jury selection process.
Most really?
States, most federal courts, most states, you would have be in a group. You might have 10 or 12 people. You might be 100 people. And the judge would ask a series of questions, and maybe there would be some questioning of a juror separately if the juror says something really, you know, shocking or that might lead to the juror being disqualified. But Connecticut allows really extensive questioning. It can take a half an hour, 45 minutes. I'm sure, you know, some of your listeners have been called to jury duty, and they kind of feel, you know, am I on trial? You know, I'm being questioned here in the witness box, or, you know, 45 minutes or, you know, if they're asking me what I watch on TV and what do I read and how do I feel about the criminal justice system? And do I think that the police are fair? And so, you know, and now that can be very stressful for jurors. Jurors don't know what to expect usually, but it does lead to a situation where by and large, the jurors who are open and are honest are people that can give both sides a fair shake. They don't come into it with any, you know,
a predisposition.
I'm preordained to find for the prosecution, or I'm never going to find for the prosecution because I have problems with police or something like that. So it's a very expensive system. You know, it means that we can't have as many trials because it takes as long to pick a jury as it does to try the case. And we just don't have enough courtrooms. We don't have enough judges. But the benefit of that cost is that we do get probably fairer, more open, less preconceived judgment juries.
Attorney Bill Bloss is here, our legal expert on the show, weighing in on the ongoing murder trial for Raul Valley, who is accused of killing Jimmy McGrath back in May of 2022. Bill, we know obviously the focus is on Raul Valley, but when the verdict eventually is announced, I'm curious if you think other people are going to be called into, you know, lawsuits. For example, I know there was a lot of attention on the owners of the home. I know there's even been attention on one of the liquor distributors or something. There have been other names that have been brought up in passing. But obviously the focus has been on Raul Valley. Do you believe we're going to see more cases come out of this?
Well, I mean, given that this happened in 2022, it's getting pretty late. The statute of limitations for any kind of a negligence claim is 2 years. The statute of limitations including negligent service, depending on the age of the person involved who took custody of the alcohol, there can be different statutes. But I mean, I guess it's possible, but, you know, under the heading of anything is possible. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be a major likelihood.
I'm also curious, Attorney Bloss, my understanding is if convicted, Raul Valley could spend up to 60 years behind bars. And so my question is, you know, maybe his team, you know, I don't know his team, but maybe they didn't know everything that would come out in court. But, you know, when you look at the videos that, as you mentioned earlier, literally puts a knife at the crime scene, and there's so much proof backing up what's happening right now and what the accusations look like. Why wouldn't he take that deal? I mean, again, 40 versus 60 probably sounds like nothing, but it is a significant difference. Why wouldn't he take that deal, you think?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
There may be, and especially, I don't know what the defense is exactly, but I wouldn't expect to know exactly what the defense is after 2 days of the prosecution's case, because the defense hasn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so the defense, you know, they have kind of, I think from some of the cross-examination, they're kind of implying that one of the Shelton kids lured the St. Joseph's kids in to
like
the second party. And,
mm.
Yeah. And then when the St. Joe's kids got there were only three of them, and there were, you know, they were grossly outnumbered. And, you know, that may be, but it's the problem is, or I mean, I don't know if it's, I guess it's a problem. The issue is that for self-defense, in order to use deadly force, which a knife, gun, anything like that, in order to use deadly force, you have to be in fear of your life without the opportunity to retreat. And, you know, I don't know what the evidence ultimately is going to show. I've learned to not comment on what the evidence shows after 2 days of a trial, because then the evidence can change remarkably on the third day. And so, you know, all I can say is what people should look for. You know, was there an opportunity to retreat? Was there a threat on Valley's life? Did anybody else have any weapons? Those are things that I'd be looking for. But, you know, Melissa, 16-year-old, I mean, he's a kid. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I know he's 20 now and he's being tried as an adult, but he was a kid. So was James McGrath, really. And you're right. Completely innocent. Wrong place, wrong time. Just a bystander from what at least the testimony was. It's hard to swallow a 40-year sentence when you're 20 years old, thinking that, you know, I'll get out when I'm in my late 50s or something like that. And now there is a case that the U.S. Supreme Court decided a couple of years ago, saying that you cannot give a somebody under 18 effectively a life sentence without the opportunity for some kind of early release or early parole. So he may be thinking that regardless of whether it's 40 or 60, he may be eligible to have a review of his sentence after 30 years, say, so that the ultimate end sentence doesn't make any difference. But that's, you know, that's a pretty optimistic view of you know, what might happen in 30 years. But it's, you know, it's just a profoundly sad situation.
Yeah, no, it really is. Attorney Bill Bloss, I always appreciate getting your perspective, and I thank you so much for giving us the time. And I want to remind my folks that Attorney Bloss has nothing to do with the case, but I do think he has incredible insight, which is why he's our legal expert on the show. So, Bill, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.